إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولا وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى mentioned in Surah Al-Hujurat where he said, يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعرفوا إنا أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O people, surely we have created you from a male and a female, dhakarin wa untha, and made you tribes and families, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُ, and made you into different tribes and families so that you may know each other and recognize each other. تَعَارَفُ, تَعَارَفُ. And then Allah said, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Surely the most honorable of you with Allah is the one who has the most taqwa. Inna Allaha alimun khabir. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing and all aware. I remind myself and you that we like to say that in Islam there is no discrimination between people. But I like to say that in Islam there is discrimination, and Allah told us the basis of this discrimination, and which also shows us who will discriminate. The basis of discrimination is not race, it is not color, it is not tribe, it is not family, it is not nationality. The basis of discrimination is taqwa of a person. Inna akramakum, the most honorable, the highest, عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, with Allah, أَتْقَاكُمْ, the one who has the greatest taqwa. And it tells us who is the one who will discriminate, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no one knows the actual extent of taqwa in anybody's heart. You can look at a person and feel that so-and-so is a great muttaqi person, but the person might just be a great actor. Doesn't mean that he is muttaqi. Just means a great actor, because he is convincing the world that he is muttaqi. Only Allah knows the extent of the taqwa in the heart of the person. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that it is not for you to decide who is superior, who is inferior. It is Allah who will decide. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the basis of that definition. The reason I am saying this is because this is perhaps the greatest evil that is there in Muslim society, especially Indian Muslim society. It is there, unfortunately, also among others, among the Arabs and so on. But I am concerned about what happens in our country, and that is Indian Muslim society is ridden, is completely filled with discrimination between people on the basis of caste. Islam did not bring any caste. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his khutbah, which is in his Hajj khutbah to Wada, mentioned this very clearly, where he said there is no discrimination. He said all the ways of discrimination, he said, I have crushed them under my heel. The white man is not superior to the black man, the red man is not superior to the black man, the Arab is not superior to the non-Arab, and the non-Arab is not superior to the Arab. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the same ayah, and he said, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most superior and the most preferred before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the greatest taqwa. And this only Allah knows. Now we are filled with this to the extent that Islam came into this country without any discrimination. Because Islam came pure. Islam came without discrimination. The Sahaba did not discriminate. You had Sahaba who were from the highest of the caste system of the Arabs, because the Arabs had a very, very strong caste system. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came as the Nabi in Makkah, there was all kinds of, there were the Quraysh and there were the others, and there were the this tribes and those tribes and so on. And I don't want to go into the details here, but there was a very structured system of caste or class in society. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped all that out, and very, very clearly Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated that the only basis of superiority and preference before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa. So sahaba married sahaba from the great tribes, they and the high class, so called high class families, they married their daughters to people who newly became Muslim, people who were from nowhere, who had no lineage, nothing, people they didn't have any of this, right? To the extent, I mean, to me this is the greatest symbol of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's commitment to non-discrimination on the basis of anything, which is that he ordered Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu to climb on top of the Kaaba, on the roof of the Kaaba, and call the Adhan. Yeah? The Quraysh objected, the people objected, and they said, what is the need for this? If Rasulullah himself, he could have climbed on top of the Kaaba and called the Adhan, this would have been perfectly normal, it would have been perfectly logical. It would have been entirely appropriate, because he is the Nabi. Who is more entitled to call the Adhan than the Nabi? Rasulullah at that time, all the Umara of the Quraysh were there at Fatah Makkah. The greatest of the Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, was there. Rasulullah could have told Abu Bakr Siddiq to call the Adhan from the top of the Kaaba. He did not do that. He told Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, because Rasulullah knew the quality of Bilal radiallahu anhu. So he sent him on top of the Kaaba. What was the need to stand on top of the Kaaba? Can you believe this? The Kaaba was under the feet of Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. Today, if you lie down with your feet towards the Kaaba, we say this is a lack of adab, and of course it is a lack of adab. Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu was standing on top of the Kaaba. The Kaaba was beneath his feet. By the hukam of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not give hukam on his own whims and fancies. His Rabb bore witness to the fact. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. To send Bilal radiallahu anhu on top of the Kaaba was wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implemented. Why? Because he wanted to prove once and for all, there is no caste in Islam. To you he looks like a black man who is beneath your dignity even to treat with respect, but before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, he is somebody of that status. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, and he said, ya Bilal, tell me, what is the amal that you do that has given you precedence? Bilal radiallahu anhu said, ya Rasulullah, what amal? I don't know what amal. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when I was in Mi'raj, I heard the sound of your feet in Jannah. And he said that, I have been told that you will lead my camel into Jannah. The person leading the camel will enter before the one sitting on the camel. This does not detract from the azmat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the first person to enter. But Bilal bin radiallahu anhu will lead him into Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is it you are doing? He said, ya Rasulullah, I do not know anything. I only know one thing which I do, which is every time I make wudu, I pray 2 rakat of nafil tala, tahiyatul wudu. Maybe Allah likes this. The reason I'm saying this is because we have discrimination. May Allah protect us. This started in this country in the Delhi Sultanate period. Delhi Sultanate period, Qutbuddin Aibak. At that time, this caste system started. Where, may Allah forgive the ulama who were misguided, and they aided and they supported the king in this whole falsehood, and the Hindu Varna system was implemented in Islam. So they created three levels of caste. One is Ashraf, one is Ajlaf, and then later they brought in another one called Ardal. Ardal comes from the same root as Dalil. And all three are Muslims. All three are Muslims. Who are the Ashraf? The Ashraf were the Sayyid, Mughal, Pathan. And then the Ajlaf were the, and see the names they give. To the people who slaughter animals and so on, they call them Qurayshi. The family of Rasulullah. Who is Qurayshi? Rasulullah is Qurayshi. But who do you call Qurayshi? Somebody you look down upon. He is not your Ashraf caste, he is Ajlaf. Ansari. Who are Ansaris? the people of the family of Rasulullah, the people who supported Rasulullah. But you give that name to who? To a, who in your view is a lower caste. The people who are weavers. Then Julaha and this and that. And then the Ardal, who were the Dalits who converted to Islam. I was, until recently, I was on the board of an organization called Dappu, which is the apex Dalit organization in Andhra Pradesh. And they invited me on the board. So when they invited me on the board, I told them, I'm not a Dalit. How can I be on the board? They said, sir, your heart is closer to us than anybody else. So we wanted to be on the board. So I accepted, and for many years I was on the board. And then recently I resigned because of too many other things. I couldn't give attention there. But anyway, now one day I remember in a board meeting, they were talking about Brahministic culture in this country. And I said, Alhamdulillah, in Islam there is no caste. So one of the other board members, he tells me, he says, sir, I beg to differ and please forgive me. I'm not trying to be discourteous, but there is caste in your religion also. I said, what are you saying? I mean, do you know my religion? I know. He said, sir, I don't know. He said, you know your religion better than me. But I know what happens to us when we want to become Muslim. He said, we are treated in the same way like we are treated in Hinduism. He said, when we become Muslim, you do not allow us into your masjid. He said, even before we become Muslim, if we want to drink water from your tap outside the masjid, your imam and your muezzin will stop us. They will not let us drink water. He said, you will allow us to come inside your masjid to clean your bathrooms, but you will not allow us to come into the masjid later on. Then you say, we are not pure. So we are still not pure when we are cleaning a bathroom also. So how is it that we become pure? When you want us to sweep the masjid, to swab the masjid, to clean the masjid, we are pure. But when we want to come inside the masjid, we are impure. My brothers and sisters, fear Allah. Fear Allah, because this is the sign of nifaq, and the munafiqeen have been consigned to the flames. Make no mistake. I have seen and I bear witness to the fact that this happens. I bear witness to the fact that in a big madrasa, which I shall not name, but in a big madrasa, and this is true everywhere, they were building some buildings there. And one of those buildings was part of the masjid. And in that masjid, there were ayat of the Quran being written on the walls on top in cement. Who was doing it? A Dalit mason. So I even went to the extent, I asked the ulama there, I asked them, I said, tell me, is it permissible to give the Mus'haf, which is the Arabic Quran, is it permissible to give it to a non-Muslim? He said, Laha wala quwata abe, of course not. I said, are you sure? Yes. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. He told me the ayat of Surah Al-Baqiyah also. So I said, then I am very surprised and I am very happy to see that all of these ayat of Quran which are written in cement in your masjid must have been written by one of you, because you are ulama and you have written all these ayat of the Quran in cement. So I said, I am very happy to see that ulama are actually able to do work with cement. Thapi se kaam aapko karne aata hai, khade ho ke. So he said, no, we have not written. I said, who wrote? Kisne likha? Bole, mistri ne likha. Bole, mistri musalman hai? The mason, I said, is he a Muslim? No, he's not a Muslim. I said, how did he write that? Did he get wahi when he was standing on the ladder? You wrote out the ayat of the Quran on a piece of paper and you gave him, and that piece of paper he's carrying in his pocket even when he goes to the toilet. And he is standing there and he is writing the ayat of the Quran. You have no objection to that. And the same mason, when he wants to come inside your masjid to drink a glass of water, you tell him he is najis and he cannot come inside. तुम्हारी मस्जिद बनाने के लिए नजिस नहीं हुआ, अंदर आने के लिए नजिस हो गया. पाकी का मसला है, पाकी तुम्हारे दिमाग का मसला है, पाकी तुम्हारे दिल का मसला है, तुम्हारा दिल नजिस है. इन्ना लिल्लाहि व इन्ना इलैहि राजिऊन. एब्सोल्युटली शेमफुल, एब्सोल्युटली शेमफुल. फियर अल्लाह, बिकॉज ऑन द डे ऑफ जजमेंट यू विल स्टैंड बिफोर अल्लाह.
और वही जिसको आप धेड़ बोलते हो दैट ही विल कम एंड स्टैंड बिफोर अल्लाह एंड ही विल से अल्लाह आई क्लीन्ड हिज शिट बट ही डिड नॉट इंट्रोड्यूस यू टू मी नाउ यू वॉन्ट टू पुट मी इन जहन्नम आई विल गो टेल मी वॉट डू यू वॉन्ट टू डू विद दिस मैन फियर अल्लाह इन्ना लिल्लाहि व इन्ना इलैहि राजिऊन दिस इज अवर इस्लाम And that is the reason why after 700 years of rule of this country, we are 12%. This is the price we paid. This is the price we paid and this is what our ulama and our umara gave us. This is their gift to us. The Hindu caste system in Islam. Imagine in India with 80% Muslim population. That is what could have happened. 12%. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to have mercy on us. And if we don't open our eyes today, be prepared to become untouchables in this country. Be prepared to be reduced to a level where you will be cleaning somebody else's shit. Make no mistake. If you don't do it, your children and your grandchildren will do it. That is what will happen. And Allah will make it happen. Because you destroyed the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu by introducing Brahminical discrimination into this religion, which was not there. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed it and we brought it back. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It's a matter of question, it's a matter of dignity, it's a matter of treating another human being like a human being because Allah made him human. Allah did his ikram. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and help us not to destroy ourselves by our own hands. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to treat people like people, to enable us to understand that we have a responsibility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu for which we will be questionable and to save us and have mercy on us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.